Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the three differences between men and women that mess us up. This is a co-ed call. This is such a treat. I rarely do co-ed calls. I usually do calls for just women. So it's really nice to have a few men on the line, more women than men, but happy to see the men here. I'm Wendy Newman, and I appreciate you being on the call tonight. And we had several hundred people sign up for this call. That was pretty exciting. Some of you are from signing up from PAX programs. Some of you are single ladies signing up from my list. So we have a mix of both. So thank you all for being here. And I'm going to keep you muted just for participation for the quiet space of it. But I do want you to participate. And there's a couple of times I'm going to ask you questions, and I'm going to actually start right now. So I want to find out if you're in the right place. I want you to push the one on your keypad telephone if you have ever been frustrated or misunderstood by the opposite sex. More than half of you, so far 68% of you are in the right place, 70. Yay! I'm going to guess that the rest of you are multitasking, like driving. So 72% are in the right place. And it's true. It's frustrating. Men and women are frustrating. They should already know. The opposite sex should know. They should know what you need. They should know what you mean because they're just like you, right? Yeah, not so much. Not so much just like you. Now, I'm Wendy Newman. I'm going to be leading this call tonight, and I want to give you a little bit of information about who I am because, like I said, some of you came from PAX programs and you know me from there. Some of you came from PAX programs and you don't know me from there. And some of you have come from my group and you've either heard me on the phone or you've met me in person from a live workshop. But for those of you who don't know me, I'm 48. What else do I want to tell you about me? I live in San Francisco, California. And I've been studying men for 13 years. So I separated from my husband of a 12-year marriage, and I jumped into the workshop. It's the Queen's Code workshop that I'll talk just briefly about tonight. I jumped into that workshop after the end of a marriage to see what I did wrong, see what my part was, and to see how I could do better with men in the future. And I was so altered by what I learned in just 2 days. My life was completely different. The whole half of the planet now available to me, which was amazing. And I was so taken by what I learned that I immediately started working for the company. And I've been with PAX ever since, 13 years. And I lead two different weekend workshops for PAX. I lead the Queen's Code, which is a workshop for women about men. And then I also lead a graduate workshop called the Queen's Code for Sex. So I get to talk about sex for 2 days. Isn't that great? Yes. And after I had left my marriage all those years ago, I dated and looking for the right person for me. And in my dating adventures, I went on 121 first dates. So I wrote a book about it. And it's out in January. And the other thing you want to know about me is I've been happily coupled with my partner, Dave. He was lucky first date number 121. We've been together nearly 3 years now, and we live in San Francisco. So this call tonight is to introduce you to me and to the PAX programs. If you have already done PAX programs, some of this information is going to be a repeat for you. So just listen newly, see if you can pick anything else that's new up. But this is some of the information that we talk about through PAX programs. Tonight we're going to discover three ways that we're different. I'm also going to give them to you in three different areas of your lives because all different areas can be impacted by these ways. So one of the first ways is when we're dating. Now, I know some of you on the call aren't dating. You're married. So you just want to look back and see where you were like this. You want to use this part for reflection. The other areas that can affect us is in a long-term relationship like a marriage. And then in another area that we're going to talk about is at work. And then So I'm going to give you those three. I'm going to tell you how they impact you in those areas. And then about halfway through the call, somewhere in the middle, I'm going to give you some information about PAC's programs and, for the single ladies, my 8-week dating teleclass. Now, I'm not going to talk about them for very long, probably about 5 minutes. I'm not going to give you all the nitty-gritty, because if you want all the details of the courses, you can get that on the website. And if we have time, I will answer questions at the end. But the details are on the website. What I do want to talk about tonight is I'm going to be offering you a special price tonight, and the deals are not available on the websites directly. So you want to listen up on what the secret codes are to get those deals if you want them. And then, after that, after I have already given you all the information plus the three things, I saved the best for last. I'm going to give you one more secret. I'm going to give you the fourth thing. That's right. I like to deliver more than I promised. And the fourth thing is going to give you a big bang for your buck, because I'm going to give it to you how it impacts us in all three, in dating, in long-term relationships, and at work. It's the thing that almost no man and woman knows about the opposite sex. And then if there's any time left over, Q&A for you. I love Q&A. Questions are my favorite part. All right, let's dive in. We're going to start at the beginning of relationships. We're going to start with dating. I'm going to talk about what's natural and what's instinctual and how men and women just are by nature. So I'm going to talk about just sort of the default of how we are. Now, there's nothing wrong here. There's nothing to blame, nothing wrong, nothing bad about it. It's all just natural. But what I'm going to talk about through this hour is a default, kind of a knee-jerk, instinctual response. Seeing the response, seeing that natural way we are, when you catch it in the act, you can decide if you want to do that when it pops up or if you want to make a different choice, a more intentional choice. Sometimes when we see that instinct and we see that instinctive response and we could catch it in the act, sometimes just let it. We just let instinct roll. And then other times we don't. We can change the way the game is going to go down if you wanted. So you could do things by default or you could do things not by default. You get to decide. And when I talk about all of these topics, I'm going to be generalizing like crazy here. So you want to take what applies to you and leave the rest. If the shoe doesn't fit, it ain't your shoe. Don't try and cram it on. So we're going to get started with the dating piece. Here we go. Now, a woman on a date, if she really likes a guy, she's going to be excited and she'll be able to express herself. But when it comes to talking about what she needs or what's important to her life or what her preferences are, like if he puts her on the spot and needs an answer that would impact both of them, her natural tendency is going to be to waffle. You know, if he asks, where do you want to go to dinner, the natural tendency is whatever you like. So that's just her instinctual need to be pleasing or, more importantly, to avoid displeasing him. It doesn't feel right for her to say, oh, God, not sushi. I hate sushi. Because if it's a first date, what if sushi is his favorite thing? I mean, you know, she can make California roll work out. She doesn't have to be like that. She wants to be low maintenance. She wants to be very little trouble. She wants anything to be fine. That's a knee-jerk response to be pleasing and avoid displeasing. To avoid being ruled out by not liking the steakhouse. Ladies, if you're a food snob like I am, I'm guessing that anywhere is not fine. Denny's is not fine unless you're super into pancakes or something. But here's where it messes us up. Here's where it messes us up between men and women. When a man is on a date and he likes a woman, what he's looking at her for is he's trying to see if she'll make a good partner with him, for him. So he has to look to see if they match. And in the looking to see if they match, he needs information. He needs to know her preferences. He needs to know what she needs. He needs to know what will make her happy. He needs to know what her vision for life is. He needs to know who she is. What does she stand for? What is she after? What's she about? It's what he's looking for to see if she's a fit. Now, it would be a shame to have to stop seeing her, not because they weren't a fit, but because he couldn't extract any information from her. When a man and a woman are dating, she's trying to attract him, and he's trying to impress her. So with it's attract, attract, impress, impress. The woman's over there attracting, the man's over there trying to impress, and eventually she attracts him, he impresses her, boom, you're in a relationship. That's how that works. So attract, we attract by our looks and our intellect and by being low maintenance and by being accommodating and not being displeasing. A natural state. Now, when a man is trying to impress us, one of the ways that really backfires, the natural way men try and impress us, is he might start talking about his accomplishments. But for a woman, that can come across as arrogant or showy, or that he talks too much, or all he talks about is himself. Or maybe he tries to impress her with his chivalry by opening the door and ordering her wine for her. Well, now he's controlling. So you might break up with someone or never see them again because they like you too much. That'd be a shame, right? So what are you going to do instead in this scenario, instead of that? So beautiful women on this call, you want to be sure to tell men what you need, what your life is like, and what you prefer. And if you notice a man who's trying to impress you, instead of being put off by that, you can just think to yourself, wow, he must really like me. And men, how you can help with the situation is one of the things you can do to have a woman express her heart's desire and her preferences is have her feel safe. Have her feel safe to tell you these things. And I know that can be tricky, especially on a first date, because you would be a stranger to her. Once I had a man tell me on my first date by being really direct. He basically said, stop it. Stop being tentative. Stop holding back. Stop backing off. That actually worked for me. I like that. It might not work for other women. But you want to tread lightly in this area. One thing you could do is ask for clarification or give her an option. When it's dinner, instead of getting an, or after getting an anything is fine, you could say something like Italian or sushi, if that's what you want. You could do baby steps into her expressing her preferences. Now, I'm going to move on to in relationships. When you're in a marriage or in a relationship, a long-term partnership, there's this whole need for women to continue to be pleasing and avoid displeasing. And where men are with the woman they love is they're in provide mode. So men living in a house with a woman is going to be looking at providing what she needs, and a woman is going to be looking to make sure he has what his needs, he has what he needs too, but it's more from how's he doing, is he pleased, is he okay. If you're in masculine mode, you also might want to be in that provide mode. So if you're a woman, it can go either way. What does he need that I can provide? What does he need? How's that nap going? Is he pleased? It can look either way. Now, that's great. That's really lovely that you've got two people living under one roof where you're both looking after each other, you're both taking care of each other, you're looking out for each other's needs, you got each other's back. Sounds delicious, right? But where it can go awry is when we lose our independence and we lose ourselves in the relationship. Where a man will lose himself in the relationship because of that knee-jerk response to be looking out for what his family needs, what his wife needs, his live-in partner needs. A woman will lose herself at the effect of being pleasing. And it happens all the time. And it can even happen, it can be an it can happen in the long term of just losing yourself, and it can even happen in the nitty-gritty moments of every day where it's just a little bit annoying. For women, a part of our attention is always on, how is he doing? Is he okay? Does he need anything? Is he pleased? How is that nap going? How'd I do with dinner? Is the TV show he's watching something that is inspiring him, or is he bored? Is he going to be grouchy later? What's happening? It's always running all the time. And for men, same thing. What does she need? Is she's still at her desk? It's 8 o'clock at night. Why is she still at her desk? Do I need to go interrupt and take her away from work? She needs to be provided a break. She needs balance. Maybe she needs food. Maybe I'll get her a snack. Can you see it? And it can just be what on the surface looks like a lovely, I've got your back, turn into this sort of crazy-making moment-by-moment wheel of loss of independence, loss of self, loss of strength, and loss of doing the things that you really wanted to do, whether it just be read the book in peace or whatever. So how do couples get out of this mess? Well, there's many, many ways couples can get out of this mess, but one of the things that you can do on a regular basis is set time apart or together, but where you're off duty. One of the things that my partner and I do is we have solo nights and we share a Google Calendar, so it's really easy to do. We'll just slap it on. And usually, so I teach a class on Thursday nights. My dating class is on Thursday nights. So Thursday nights is a really good solo night because, yeah, I'm working and I'm going to work late. I don't want anybody over my shoulder. And hey, after I get all my work done, maybe I want to go for a walk. Maybe I want to go to a movie. Maybe I want to whatever, right? So we have nights. Some of them are more, not static, some of them are more set, like a Thursday night. And some of them are more loosey-goosey, just one here or there, where we will put on our calendar, solo night. And if we're both in the house, that means we're off duty, that we are intentionally not doing that mechanism. He's intentionally not seeing what I need to be provided. I am intentionally not checking into him to see if he's pleased. I don't dress up. I might not even have makeup on. I might have a popcorn-stained shirt. It makes no difference because I'm impressing no one tonight. And it's this really delicious break where you're still lovely and nice to each other. You're still the lovely roommates and friends and lovers and spouses that you are to each other, but you just have turned off the switch, that automatic switch. Really great. I highly recommend a solo night, and that helps get us out of that. Now, let's dive into work. Last one of the three, let's dive into work and see how that, the differences there, can mess us up. Now, I was thinking about this today, and I realized that work is a little trickier to distinguish because when women are at work, sometimes we're like a man. I know I am, for sure. So when we were taught, when we thought about going into our careers, when we started thinking about working as young women, we were taught about work and production and producing results from a masculine paradigm. You know, a long, long time ago, Gloria Steinem said, some of us are becoming the men we wanted to marry. But what isn't accounted for is our feminine traits. And sometimes those traits can get in the way of productivity or even override our productivity. So I want to talk about that. Now, this doesn't happen for all women all the time. And like I said, interestingly enough, depending on our makeup, some of us women can adapt so well to the masculine paradigm that we can actually be like a man. We can be annoyed at those feminist traits that can show up in our coworkers in the workplace. For sure, I know I am that way. So I'm about to describe a mode that pretty much most men are in and that some women are also in when they're at the workplace. And instead of calling it man or masculine mode, since there's so many women in there too, since we experience it, I want to call it production mode. So when men and some women are in production mode, when we're in production mode, we're driven. And when we're in production mode, we're on task. And when we're in production mode, we need clarity. And when we're in production mode, we need brevity. When we're in production mode, we need to start things on time. And we need people to get to the point. When we're in production mode, we need people to not impede our ability to produce results. So to feel like that we're in top shape, we need to be able to produce the results. We're off balance, we're off kilter when the production of our results are thwarted by something. So men are often in production mode, and some women are, depending on who you are, maybe you're like me, maybe you're not, in production mode. Raise your hand by hitting one if you can see yourself in production mode at work. And hit two if you're not like that at work. I'm seeing hands in both. Line up. Awesome. So there are way more women on the call than men, and 38% see themselves in production mode. Only 9% see themselves not in production mode, and the rest did not weigh in. Ooh, 40, 10. So we got 50% of the people weighed in, 40% said they can see it, 10 don't. That's really good. It's really good to see. I would have predicted that, actually. Okay, great. Now, what impedes production mode is something that can normally be a feminine trait. We're going to call it connector mode. So when a connector mode person, maybe that 10%, right? Or that, yeah, that 10%. When a connector mode, no, wait, sorry, that's 20%. 50% weighed in, 20%. Okay, sorry, I will stop doing math on the phone. When a connector mode person shows up to a meeting, like, but we'll use the meeting for example. In order for that connector person, a woman or a man, mostly a woman, in order for a connector person to feel safe or to feel productive or to be in good shape, she's going to need to get connected. You know, she shows up to the meeting, she walks in the conference room, she's going to want to check in. She's going to want to find out how people's day are, how the day is going, how the meeting before that went, how was your weekend, what went on, did you go boating? Someone on your team in connector mode is not going to be okay if you just dive right into the meeting with the facts. They're going to think you're mad at them. They're going to be off balance. They need a moment to breathe and connect. Okay, raise your hand if you've ever seen this happen where a person was totally off balance because she or he was a connector and they didn't get the space to connect. Push one if you've seen it, or two if you've been that person. You were the person that you were way off balance because you didn't need to connect, or because you didn't get to connect. Awesome. Thank you. All right, 20% of you have seen it, and 15% of you have been that person, and the rest of you didn't vote. Very good. Thank you. So it's a problem, and I have a solution. If you're in management, I have a solution that's going to make everybody be in great shape. You're going to start that meeting at 10 o'clock. And when you send out the email for the meeting, you're going to say, the meeting starts promptly at 10 a.m. with the agenda of the day rolling out. If you would like to connect with your team before the meeting starts, please be here at 9:40 and there will be coffee. That way the connectors can get there and be all connected and feel all warm and fuzzy and know how everybody's weekend was, get their coffee ready, made eye contact with everybody, feel good. And those who are in production mode can stroll in at 1 minute to 10, grab their seat, grab their coffee, and they are in there ready to roll. problem solved. Pretty good, right? Okay, so I'm now going to shift gears, and I'm going to tell you very briefly about a Queen's Code and a Queen's Code Challenge special offers, and then for the single ladies, I'll tell you about the offer I have on Dating by Design. So I have two different special offers. So I'm going to tell you about the offer I'm giving you for Queen's Code and Queen's Code Challenge. These two workshops, one is for women and one is for men. So the Queen's Code workshop is for women and it's designed to help you understand men better, and the Queen's Code Challenge is for men and it's designed for you to help understand women better. So with both of these courses, with either of these courses, whichever is the right one for you based on your gender, you're going to learn how to get the best out of each other and how to understand the opposite sex, how to understand your differences. For women, you're going to have your feelings hurt a lot less often. And for men, you won't feel disrespected as often. And for both, you'll be able to say what you really need from people, and you're going to have better results in getting what you need with a lot less effort. Ever heard of the battle of the sexes? This will be the end of your personal battle with the opposite sex. And you won't need to change anybody to do it, including yourself. There's nothing major or big to do, no homework that you have to complete. Once you see the point of view of the other person, you will be forever changed, like I was, forever changed. Now, the times and tuitions are the same, so that's going to make it super easy for this announcement. The cost of the programs go from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, and there's a 3-hour, once a week for an hour, 3 weeks in a row, follow-up teleclass, and there's also a 30-minute bonus coaching. You get a private bonus coaching with the coach or the workshop leader after, so you can get your questions answered if they didn't get answered in the course. So that package altogether is $1,110. I'm going to offer it. It's online for $849, so it's already discounted online. But if you're going to put in a code tonight, you can get an additional $124 off. So the price went from $1,110 to $725. So you get $124 off. The code that you would want to use to get that extra money off is WN, like for Wendy Newman, WN-914. WN-914. And we have courses coming up all around the country. So you want to take a look at the website, which is understandmen.com. And I'll be sending you an email after this, so you'll have the details on how to register. If you need a payment plan, totally fine. You can use a payment plan. You don't have to finish the payment plan to be in the workshop. If you went into a workshop in a month, just pay one payment, hop right in the workshop, and then finish paying it off later. We have a 100% money-back guarantee. If you don't like it, we'll give you all your money back. No questions asked. And if you have questions about what's covered, I'll take those questions at the end of this call. Now, if you're single and you're looking for the special offer for my 8-week teleclass, Dating by Design, it's for single ladies. The special for you tonight that I am giving you is because I'm doing this because I believe in the buddy system. If you register into Dating by Design, my 8-week teleclass series, it's on Thursday nights. It starts October 15th in a week on Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific. If you register into that class, you can bring a girlfriend for free. I don't want you dating alone. I'm going to give you everything I've got in the 8 weeks. So there are 75-minute live classes with a Q&A after party after that, and you'll have access to downloadable recordings, exercises, and homework. The rate for that course is $295, but if you bring a girlfriend and work out how you're going to get payment from her, split it. It's almost $150, a little under $150. Again, a payment plan is okay. You could, same situation. You can buy it, pay in full, or you could do a payment plan today and be in that class next week and pay off the rest of the payment plan later. So if you register into the dating class, it's a different promo code. You want to put the number 3 and the word differences, 3 differences. Okay. And you get everything that you see online except for the coaching, and there's limited spots. So that's what I have to say about that. And there are calls. Well, I'll answer questions at the end of this call. All right, I want to give you the fourth one, the fourth secret, sneaky one. Ready? Competition. Competition messes us up. Now, women compete and men compete, but they look very different when women and men compete. We're both hardwired for it, but when women compete, it can be more fleeting. With men, it's more laser direct. It's hardwired in for both of us. Sometimes when men and women are competing, it's not very lovely. And women can accidentally do things to trigger competition. Now, I want to speak to this from what women do to trigger competition so it can stop. And this is more illumination for men so you can stop it in its tracks too. But since I have a majority of women on this call, this is a little heavier on the woman side. So, women, have you ever noticed that when you trigger competition in a man, triggering a man to cause him to compete with you, it can be kind of ugly. It can be a mood killer in a relationship. Raise your hand by hitting one if you know what I'm talking about. Good. Some of you do. 20% hands are going up. So here's how it shows up in work. I'm going to talk about how it shows up in work and in single life and in marriage and in partnership. So at work, women compete to show how good we are at work. And it could be as simple as, look what I did all by myself. Or it could be, look at the job I did. Isn't this brilliant? Or aren't I brilliant? Or it could be something like, no one gets the job done like I do. Sorry about all those ambulances. I live in downtown San Francisco. We'll stand by. No one gets the job done like I do. Or who's the fastest at getting this done? Me, right? So when we do that teasing, taunting, I'm the badass, I'm the best, when we do that in the workplace, while we're just playing, it triggers competition in men. And when we trigger competition in men, it does not inspire collaboration. It does not inspire him to have your back. You just became the man to him. So there's no vibe of, hey, play with me. Instead, it's play against me. Instead of him thinking, wow, she is brilliant, he is thinking, game on. You just lost. Just lost. So for women in the area of work, you want to be careful that when you're teasing him, when you're teasing your coworkers or you're bragging or boasting, it can really bite you in the ass. It can really turn against you in really unlovely ways because he won't look at you the same anymore. He won't have your back. And it's really hard to turn around. And men can also, the men listening can just be conscious that women don't understand the way that competition is hardwired into you. They don't mean it to have the effects that it does. Nobody means it to go into a downward spiral for anybody. Now, how does this work in the single world? Also happens with women who are single and dating, we try and impress them, and we try and impress them with our accomplishments and our status at work and how amazing we are and all the things we've done and all the degrees that we have. And we value all of those things because our society does, and there's nothing wrong with valuing those things. But again, it's the attitude that comes with it. I've been to 52 countries. How about you? Oh, four? Oh, yeah, well. You know? We think it shows what a catch we are. But if we're sparring about it, or if it's as compared to you, when we have the attitude about it, when we have that attitude of, what do I need you for? I already got this. It has the same fuel of competition ignited. It gives men the same response. You're not that lovely, soft woman in front of him anymore. You just became a man to him. At best, you're his client. But when we talk about that and we spar in that way and we compete in that way, it doesn't inspire him to have your back. There's no vibe to come play with me. Instead, it's play against me. And instead of thinking, wow, she's brilliant, he's thinking, game on. And when you're on a date, you never want a man to think game on. You may as well hear him say game over. And for married people who, or people who live together, partners who live together, it shows up here too. We think that if we compete with him, when we share the way we do, that he will discover how good of a partner we are. Very common mistake. We'll start very simply by saying, guess what I did today? And then when he says, what? You give him the laundry list so long, and then you look at him and you wait for his response, like that as compared to you. What did you do today? Here are the 15,000 things I had to do that got done, and here are the other 15,000 things that came and fell on my plate, and I did them too. What did you do? The attitude we have about it. When we say it like this, like we've done 10 times the amount of work that our partner could have possibly done, it becomes an unlovely competition. But it has a different effect. It doesn't have that sparring thing. Instead, what it does is it sucks the life out of him. It drains him. If he just came home from work, he's now 10 times more exhausted than he was when he walked in the door. You might not become the man, but for sure, you just became the unsafe enemy. He's going to go into conceal mode, not provide mode. Conceal everything, or it will be used against me. Well, I could talk about my really busy day at work, too, but I did have that 90-minute lunch with Ted, and there's this really good story that I was dying to tell her about that lunch, but I'm not going to tell her now. I'm not going to share that. It doesn't inspire him to have your back. It doesn't inspire him to congratulate you on all your hard work. It causes him to conceal. And again, it's not the sharing of the details of your day. It's the energy that we bring to it. So the bottom line, it's not women's accomplishments. It's not how productive we are. It's the attitude. And the good news is when you see yourself engaging this way, whether you're a man or a woman, you can stop it in its tracks. You can stop it by just deciding that you're going to stop it. You can stop the competition. You can stop competing. And you can turn towards each other by shifting the conversation and shifting the tone. Okay, I must have been talking really fast in the beginning of the call because we whipped through this puppy tonight. I hope you got value, and I want to open up the lines to questions. The first set of questions I will take is if you have any questions about either of the PAX courses, the Queen's Code or the Queen's Code Challenge. If you have questions about my dating course, Dating by Design, hit 1. If you have questions about one of those two things, hit 1 now. And I just put everyone's hand down. Sorry about that. If you have questions, hit 1 now. If you already had questions earlier, you don't want to hit it again. And if you had questions about the content, please hit 2. All right. So let me start here. Deborah, I am handing you a mic. Go ahead.
Hi, Wendy. I was wondering about your dating program, the 8-week online course.
Yeah.
I don't have a friend that wants to do this with me, so would I just pay the $295, or would there be someone that might call that we could do it together?
If someone on this specific call,
okay.
Everyone's dropping off like crazy, but if someone on this specific call wants that, hit 4, and I will connect the two of you. But yeah, it's just you just want to pay that. And I got a taker, Deborah.
Huh.
So
okay.
Well, 1 second. Karina, stay on after the call, and you two can connect on. And next question, let's see. Is it Cedria? You have the mic. Cedria?
Yes, Cedera.
Cedera, sorry about that. Hi.
That's all right. Hi, I actually had a question about the Queen's Code course. And
yes.
I was wondering, I've read the book already,
yes.
And I was wondering how different the course would be to the book.
It's very different. I've led this course for years, and I wondered about that when the book came out. It's like, oh, are people just going to read the book and that's it? And for a lot of people, the experience of – so first off, I've never heard a woman say, oh, yeah, I read the book and this course is the same. It doesn't
okay.
have that same experience. Having a live presentation, it's going to get in your body in a very different way. And we have all kinds of exercises and trio sharing and ways for you to look in your life and see how you experience that yourself. And you'll be able to really look at your past and see how you thought it went one way, but it might have gone a different way. Maybe you didn't think you had anything to do with it, but oopsie, maybe you did. And vice versa, maybe you thought you did have something to do with it, you don't. You're going to get a completely different experience in the course. You want to think about it like day camp. Right? You can't
Excellent.
Replicate day camp. Yeah. Does that help?
Right. Yeah, it does. The other question that I have is there one that would be held in Toronto? Is it a teleconference?
The Toronto course, let me see if, hold on. You'd want to go to understandmen.com and click on workshops and pick a city. It'll give you all the cities that they're happening with the dates. I don't happen
okay.
to have a sheet in front of me.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Okay. All right. I am going to quick like a bunny, open up all of the lines so we can say goodnight to each other. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.